Come up to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And we're going to start with verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. We had a great time at the testimony fire night last night. Just, it's awesome time. Everyone did an amazing job. The presence of the Lord was here. In fact, we're probably feeling some residue from that even last night. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Matthew 14, 22 through 27. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent them to sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch, say fourth watch. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Oh, just business as usual, huh? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Today I want to talk to you about making prayer a priority in your life. In fact, the title of this message is The Priority of Prayer. I'm going to tell you why prayer should be a priority in your life. Some of you are like checking out already. I guarantee you, this message is filled with revelation from heaven. Maybe some things you haven't thought about before. The Holy Spirit gave me some revelation keys to pass on to you today. And so when you read through the Gospels, all right, Jesus left us an amazing example in his earthly life and in his earthly ministry in connection to and the importance of prayer. Say prayer. He made it very clear that it was a priority to him and it should be a priority to us as his disciples. Amen? I said this before, and I want to say it again. Prayer should not be our second or our last option in life. It should be a priority in our life. You know, what's the typical excuse that people give why they can't pray, right? They say, "I'm too busy," right? But that's a deceptive, carnal, and fleshly mindset that we need to get rid of. A correct spiritual mindset says this. Are you ready for this? See, this is where we got to shift the paradigm in our thinking. I'm so busy that I can't afford not to pray. I'm so busy today, I can't afford not to pray. All right? If you view prayer, listen to this, the Holy Spirit said this to me. If you view prayer as a burden, you will be burdened in life. If you view prayer as a burden, you will be burdened in this life. If anybody had an excuse for being too busy on this earth to pray, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pushed and pulled, tugged on in every direction, yet he knew that he would lose, listen to me now, that he would lose his effectiveness in his life and earthly ministry if he neglected to pray. It didn't matter how exhausted Jesus was. He always made time to pray. Our life, as I was writing this message, the Holy Spirit gave me this picture, that our life on this earth is like a blank canvas of possibilities and potential. But our free will and the decisions we make is like the paintbrush, and our prayers is the paint. Are you hearing me? Your life, my life, it's a blank canvas. Our free will and decisions are the paintbrush, and our prayers are the paint, or is the paint. If we neglect prayer, we are allowing, listen to me, if we neglect prayer, we are allowing carnality, our fleshly desires, the enemy, and the world to dictate what is being painted on that canvas of your life. You really want to leave that paintbrush to somebody else? Do you really want to leave that to someone else? Or are you going to finally start taking control of your life and you start being the painter on that thing by your own free will and righteous decisions? Amen? Jesus's, listen to this, Jesus's favorite time to get away from ministry, from people, and to pray was at night and in the early morning hours. Now, some say this. Some just read that, they hear that, and they think, well, of course he did that because all throughout the day he was working, he was ministering, right? But listen to me, there's more to it than that. There is way more to it of that. Jesus, of course, prayed during the day as well. But I'm talking about this. When Jesus literally pulled himself away from everybody, when he secluded himself and he stepped away from everything else and everybody else to pray and fellowship with his Heavenly Father. That's what I'm talking about. Of course, when you're on your job, when you're ministering, you can pray. But I'm talking about secluding yourself. See, I got to seclude myself. Jesus fully understood that his life and ministry on this earth was being shaped by his times of prayer. I'm telling you right now, some of y'all think, oh, well, Jesus just did what he did because he was the Son of God. No, he walked as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit as an example for us. Prayer is not just a religious discipline. It is a shaping. You got to catch this now. Some things are taught, some things are caught. You got to catch this revelation. Prayer is not just a religious discipline. It is a shaping of your entire life and ministry on this earth. There are some things, some blessings, some impartations that will not be released into your life unless you pray for those things. There are some things on the loading dock of heaven right now. Listen to me. That are waiting to be delivered to you, but you're not praying for them. You're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and praying for those things to be delivered. That includes, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about praying, of course, in your known language and praying in tongues. Amen? Don't forget the praying in tongues portion, because that's, you're praying the perfect will of God. When we pray in our English language, if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you're being led by your flesh. That's why the word says you can ask amiss, or you can miss the target in your prayer life because you're not praying in line with the will of God. You get it? So I want you to notice in the passage I read in Matthew 14:25, it mentions something very, very interesting here that people will just pass over. But I want to go deeper on this. Now, remember, I got to tell you this. There is no wasted words in the Word of God. You agree with that? You think there's any wasted words in the Word of God? Or does everything mean something? Right? God's trying to reveal something to us in every single word. All right? Every word has purpose attached to it in the Bible. In verse 25, it said this, in the fourth watch of the night. Say fourth watch. Listen to this. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus was up praying during that time frame. In fact, Jesus prayed during the fourth watch on a regular basis. This wasn't just a now and then thing. Go with me to Mark 1:35. I'm going to talk about something here that you might not hear from a lot of pulpits on a Sunday, okay? But I think there's a key the Holy Spirit is showing us about this. Mark 1:35, and it says this, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Say prayed. A long while before daylight. What time do you think that would be? What time is sunrise usually? 6-ish, 7-ish, right? Jesus woke up in the fourth watch. Listen, if you take hold of this, you are gonna you're gonna be like, why did I pass this up my whole life? Why did I pass this amazing experience up my whole life? Okay, listen to this. A long while before daylight would most likely be within that fourth watch time frame. So some verses reveal in the Word that Jesus even prayed all through the night. Say all through the night. There was something special. Listen to me now. There was something special about praying before sunrise, before the day broke. Amen? The fourth watch of the night, like I said, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Listen to this. Do you want to know what the fourth watch is known for? As the hours of encounters and revelation. The hours of encounters and revelation. It is believed, listen to this, it is believed to be one of the most active times during the spirit realm. Do I have your attention this morning? Yes. Listen to me. It's believed to be the most active time in the spirit realm. It is also believed that, listen to me, that spiritual doors or spiritual gates are opened between the spirit realm and the natural realm during that time frame. I can tell you this right now. In the my personal experiences of prayer and pressing in during the middle of the night, during that time frame, that is when myself, Marianne, and I together, that's when we have had encounters in the presence of God. I'm talking about supernatural encounters of the presence of God and actually seeing angels during that time. Does anybody want the deeper things of God? Yeah. Or do you just want to stick to the Jesus loves you message today? Hello? Most of our encounters, supernatural encounters, were between midnight and 6 a.m. In fact, that experience I had in Big Rapids, Michigan, that was amazing. It happened, get this, at 12:03 a.m. Now, so there seems to be a sensitivity, or you could say it this way. Are you ready? Or a thinness, say thinness, between the spirit realm and the natural realm that isn't there outside of the those kind of hours. There seems to be more of an ability to focus on spiritual things during that time frame that is not there during the day or when the sun comes up. Now, listen to me. I know it sounds strange. Especially if you're a new Christian or if you're in the flesh right now. I know this sounds totally strange and wacky, doesn't it? But I'm speaking to you right now about the deeper things of the Spirit of God. I'm talking to you about deeper waters. Hello, somebody. Anybody want deeper waters? Or are we going to stay at the shallow end? I don't know about you, but I want to flow in the miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Listen to this. I believe that Jesus knew something special about that time frame, and he took advantage of it. And it helped him actually to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, and to hear and be led by the Holy Spirit in a greater way in his life on this earth. It allows us to tap into the Spirit in a greater way and allows us to walk in a level of the anointing and power that you won't do unless you crucify your flesh. Oh, come on, somebody. Along with all of those spiritual reasons, the Word of God says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? It takes diligence to pray all night. Would you agree with that? It takes diligence to rise up before the sun even rises. Amen? And the rewards are those encounters and revelation in the presence of God. When you stay up or wake up to pray during that time frame, you are giving priority to your spirit man over your physical body, over your flesh. The spirit, anybody hear that phrase? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you know when you wake up, if you wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord's telling you to go pray, I guarantee you every part of your flesh does not want to pray. But your spirit's willing. The question is this. Are you going to allow your spirit man to influence you more than your flesh? And there's a reward for it if you do allow it to happen. Again, you are crucifying your flesh. I'm talking about the priority of prayer this morning. You are crucifying your flesh. You're putting your spirit man above your flesh. Some of the supernatural encounters, listen to this, the fourth watch. And really, I say fourth watch, it's powerful, but anything from midnight to 6 a.m., if you're up pressing into God during that time, there's a reward for it. There's a benefit for it. But listen to this. Some of the supernatural encounters that are mentioned in the Word of God happened during the fourth watch of the night. Did you know that? How about Jesus and Peter both walked on water during the fourth watch of the night? The parting of the Red Sea happened in the fourth watch of the night. Jacob wrestling with God. Guess when it happened? Say it. You guys are really catching on this morning. Wow. All right. Now listen to this. God told Jacob, when he was wrestling with Jacob, you got to catch this. This is powerful. You'll read right past it. But I'm putting the brakes on for you and we're zooming in on this thing. Are you ready? God told Jacob, when they were wrestling, that he had to go because of this, because the sun was getting ready to rise. Or some versions say, because the day was getting ready to break. Now, why would God say that? Is it just me? I mean, am I the only one who's interested in this stuff? No. What does that matter, God? What do you mean? There's something special about that fourth watch of the night. There is something very, very special, intriguing, and supernatural about the fourth watch of the night. And I'm going to add in midnight to 6 a.m. as well. Listen to this. Some Jewish scholars believe it is the time when God walks the earth. Now, we know the Holy Spirit's the part of the Godhead that's on this earth, and he's here all the time, right? But what I'm trying to just get you to see here is that this is the fourth watch thing, it's a recognized thing in many circles. Unfortunately, those in witchcraft, those in Satanism, in the occult, guess what? They do their spells and rituals during that time frame as well. So there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on during that time frame. The fourth watch time frame, and again, midnight to six, I'll throw in there. Something supernatural is happening because both kingdoms in the spirit realm are extremely active. Are you following me? You with me? All right. So both good people and evil people are tapping into the spirit realm during those times. So what I'm trying to get across to you is there's something special about that time frame, the midnight hours. I want to show you something powerful about getting up early and praying and the benefits of doing that. So that isn't that interesting? I'm going to move on, but I don't know. I could camp out on that all day. I really could. So try it. I mean, I say all that to say, try it. Just do it. Get serious with God. Wake up a great while before the sun comes up. Amen? And try it. Be serious about it. And watch what God does. Watch the amazing encounters you have with him in his presence. Amen? And the revelation that you receive, because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? All right, so listen to this. Many Christians forsake and forfeit their benefits of prayer before their day even starts. Again, like I said earlier, they leave it. If you don't pray before your day really gets started, you're leaving it up to the flesh, the world, and the kingdom of darkness to shape your day. And then these individuals who don't start their day with prayer or get into the Word of God, they get wore out. They face things. They face situations during their day that maybe could have been avoided if you would have gotten up and prayed. Or maybe you would have gotten strength to get through it better. Amen? Now, so they get wore out. In fact, the Holy Spirit said this. He said, getting up early to pray and seek me before your day begins, it might even save your life one day. I said, it may even save your life one day with what he reveals to you. what to do, what not to do. Amen? Job 38:12 has a phrase that says something very powerful. Listen to this. It's a phrase that I want to stick. I want it to stick in your spirit. I want it to stick in your soul. Amen? Command your mourning. Command your mourning. Say it with me. Command your mourning. When you wake up to get into the Word of God and pray, you are commanding your mourning. You're saying, this is how I want it to go. I want the blessing of God to be upon me through this whole day. Amen? You're setting yourself up for a day where you'll be filled with the blessings and favor of God, and maybe not so much disappointment. Amen? Now, Mark 11, 23 and 24, in that, I'm not going to read it, but y'all know it. I mean, I wore my Bible out on that. But listen to this. Jesus talks about speaking commands to mountains in your life, and then he talks about prayer. He talks about both. You shall say unto this mountain, and then it goes on in verse 24 to say, therefore, when you pray, believe what you're saying, and you'll have what you're saying. You're right? Believe what you're, or believe and then pray. Believe and then pray. Don't pray and then believe. Believe first. Amen? So as a Christian, we need to do both. We need to say or make declarations or commands, and we need to pray. Amen? And saying or commanding, by the way, is really a form of prayer because it is using your authority through Jesus Christ on this earth as a believer. You can say or pray. Say or pray. Some people just pray and they never say. You need to command your morning. Say, I need to command my morning. We need to take the time to wake up before our day starts to get into the Word of God. Even if it's just one chapter, read one chapter. Come on, be a radical. Read one chapter. Come on, get really radical now. And then we need to pray. We need to have heart-to-heart communication with our Heavenly Father before our day starts. Amen? And then we need to command. We need to make Word of God, Holy Spirit-filled declarations for that day. Amen? Before we start and get into that day. Jesus understood the importance of doing those three things before he started his day. By doing those three things in our life at the beginning of our day, we will notice the presence of God. I'm telling you right now, we will notice the presence of God in a more powerful way, the favor of God, the provision of God, and a better attitude and perspective for that entire day. And divine appointments will happen during that day too. I'm telling you right now, if you're not getting into the Word of God, if you're not praying to your Heavenly Father, if you're not commanding your morning by speaking declarations over your day, you are passing up, you are forfeiting blessings in your life. I don't know how else to say it. I can't be any more blunt than that. Amen? If you're not doing those three things, it's no wonder you're feeling so drained in your life. It's no wonder you feel like a tire without air in it. Hello, somebody. Anybody ever feel like a tire with no air? Yeah, right? It's no wonder you're feeling so discouraged and filled with faithless thoughts of impossibilities in your life. Because you're not waking up and talking to God first. You're not commanding your morning. You're not getting your perspective straight by getting into the Word of God. Amen? Doing those three things will change your entire life. Every part of your life will change to the positive. Don't ever forget this truth. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, write this down. You must conquer and prosper in the spirit before you conquer and prosper in the natural realm. You must conquer and prosper in the spirit before you will ever conquer and prosper in the natural realm. That's why it's so important to start your day with the Word of God, communication with your Heavenly Father, and commanding your morning with faith-filled declarations. Now, let me give you some more reasons of why early morning prayer is so important and powerful. Listen to this. Just giving you some things to think about here. Prayer in the morning is so important because you meet with God before you meet with or encounter the devil and the kingdom of darkness in your day. Amen? Getting into the Word of God in prayer will help you to overcome the attacks. It'll help you to overcome temptation. It will strengthen you. Amen? Listen to this. You meet with God before you meet the circumstances that you will face in that day. Prayer will cause you to avoid some things, like I said, or you might not be able to avoid them, but it'll give you strength and wisdom to get through those things, those challenges. Amen? Why else is early morning prayer so important? Because you talk to God before you talk to any person. Talk to God before you talk to any person. Talking to God, listen to this, will cause you to connect with His heart. And you will find yourself being filled with love for others. You'll find yourself, in fact, if you get up and do these three things before your day starts, you will find yourself, those people that you have ill will toward or a hatred or some kind of a thing going on, you will find yourself being drawn to them and praying for them and loving on them. It just happens that way. Why? Because you're connecting with the heart of the Father. I'm sorry to tell you, but God feels a little differently about people than we feel about them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know everyone wants God to be on their side, don't they? Everyone wants God. But God views things much different than we do in the flesh. Amen? Oh, here we go. Early morning prayer. You need to fellowship with God before you fellowship with other people, all right? You need to hear, listen to this. You need to hear news from heaven before you receive any breaking news on earth. Oh, my goodness. Turn the news off. Open your Bible in the morning. Now, I watch the news. I do. But you got to put God first. Get His perspective. Let me say that one more time. You need to hear news from heaven before you receive any breaking news on earth. In fact, God might even reveal to you and show you things that are going to happen in your day. He could be preparing you right there with revelation. Hey, this is going to happen. Don't freak out. I'm going to give you wisdom to do this. When this happens, do it. During that intimate time of prayer and communication with your Heavenly Father, He will reveal things to you. He'll prepare you for it. And He will give you His perspective on it if you really want it. Many people go into prayer with their own agenda, right? How many can truly say you go to God and say, God, if I'm wrong about this person, if I'm wrong about this situation, please shift my heart on it. I'm open to your perspective on it. Most of the time we don't, right? But we need to. Listen to this. During early morning prayer, you sit before God before you sit before people. During early morning prayer, you submit to God before you submit to people, meaning your bosses or anybody that has authority over you. Are you following me right now? This is good preaching right here. You submit to God first before any other person. You are first submitting to the one. Here's what you're doing. When you pray in the morning and put God first, you are first submitting to the one that holds your very life in the palm of His hand. And you are recognizing His supreme leadership and Him being Lord over every part of your life. Next, why is this so important? Because you honor God before you honor people. I said you honor God before you honor people. Amen. Now, you get into His presence before you get into the presence of other people. You feed your spirit before you feed and tend to your physical body. Hello. Again, if you want to be blessed, make sure you're putting God and His word first. Amen? We need to make investments in our spiritual life first, and then all the rest will be properly lined up in your life. Some of y'all's spiritual bank account is empty right now. I don't know who that is. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying. If the Holy Ghost slapped you in the face right there, well, I guess it's you. Right? But I don't have anyone in mind, just full disclosure. Make investments in your spiritual life, and everything else will align properly in the natural. You are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness during early morning prayer. During early morning prayer, you are first calling out to and exalting Jesus before you call out to any other name on this earth. During early morning prayer and reading the Word of God, making those declarations, listen to this. When you get into the Word first, you see Jesus Christ first in the Word of God before you see yourself in the mirror. Come on, somebody. Think about that. You see Jesus first before you even see yourself in the mirror. So don't stop there in the mirror. Don't look at yourself before. Go right to the living room. Okay. Listen, as you start putting God first in your life and before you start your day, you know what's going to happen? Selfishness begins to fade away in your life. Selfishness. When you put God first, you're going to notice, I'm telling you right now, if you're honestly putting him first, selfishness will go lower and lower. During early morning prayer, you'll begin to realize and understand that it's all about him and his plan and not about your fleshly desires and pursuits in this life. It'll make you desire his plan for your life. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. I like this one. During early morning prayer, you clean your heart before you clean any room in your house or at work. Oh, my. We need a heart cleaning. Amen? We all need it. There's not one person in here that doesn't need a heart cleaning. Not one. Amen? During the intimate times of fellowship with God in the morning, he will reveal areas that we need to do maintenance on, that we need to sweep, that we need to clean, areas we need to really clean up in our life. Amen? Now, let me switch. I'm going to go to another point. The Word of God tells us that leaders need to give themselves to the Word of God in prayer. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Leaders, say leaders. This is so important. I felt like I needed to put this on there and talk about this today. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 4, and it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we," he's talking about the leaders, "will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So obviously this is taught, that's not saying a pastor shouldn't do that. What it's saying is make sure your priority is prayer. Are you following me? That's why they appointed other people to do that work. Now listen to this. So we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Because of the leaders doing that, if you look down in verse 7, it says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples," not believers, disciples, say disciples, "and the number of disciples multiplied greatly." You want to know what a disciple is? Trained believers. Amen. Say trained believers. Did you know you can be a believer, but you're not trained up in the things of the Spirit of God? You're not trained up for the kingdom of God. Amen? So the moment that a spiritual leader disconnects from an effective prayer life and the Word of God, that's the very moment they become ineffective and spiritually dry in their life. They're no good. See, if I stop praying, if I stop getting into the Word of God, guess what? I'm unprofitable for you all. These messages, listen, this is not James' talent here. This is Holy Ghost. This is from getting into prayer. This is from getting into prayer and studying the Word. Amen? So the leaders recognize, hey, we got to stay connected to the word. We need to stay connected in prayer continually. Say continually. There's times, sometimes I feel like a loner. A lot of the other pastors get together all the time, and I'll be honest, I'd rather just walk down here and pray in the Spirit all day. Amen? I'd rather crack the Word of God open, walk around here with the Word open, praying in tongues, praying in English. Why? Sure, I could go chum around with them all the time, but I'll be dry. It's not going to be profitable. Amen? So the leaders were effective because of that continual prayer and giving themselves to the Word of God. Prayer is a very important key to your prosperity and success in this life as a Christian, not just leaders, for every Christian. Amen? Now, I want to end this message with something powerful that the Holy Spirit revealed to me here. All right? I mean, this is powerful. Go to Daniel 10. I put a status on Facebook about this week, but I need to go, and I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. Daniel 10, 10 through 12. So what we have here is Daniel received a vision from God, okay? It was about the end times. And Daniel, it perplexed him, all right? He didn't know what it meant, and he wanted to know what this vision meant, all right? It was really bothering him. So this is kind of where we start off. So an angel was released with revelation here. So Daniel 10, 10 through 12, I want to read. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, the angel said to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, I want to zoom in on verse 12 there, that this is a kingdom principle, kingdom key that we need to take hold of. If you want to be effective in prayer, you need to take hold of this. Are you ready? The angel told Daniel from the first day that he set his heart to understand and humble himself that God heard or it was answering his prayer. I want you to notice this, that Daniel set his heart. What is the heart? It's your thought life, your soul, your mind. Setting your mind, setting your heart to... He set his heart and mind to understand the vision. Now, Colossians 3:2 says, commands us to set our mind or our thought life on things above and not on things on the earth. You agree with that? So Daniel was having thoughts. He was thinking about, he was meditating on that vision and asking God about that vision. Listen to me, in his thoughts before he verbalized them. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't miss this now. Daniel had a very strong desire and was focused on getting more understanding and revelation, right? Remember I told you last week that when we focus on a topic, when we focus on a vision that the Holy Spirit gives us or a spiritual truth from the Word of God, when we meditate on that thing, on anything connected to the kingdom of God, it's like we are sitting in a classroom and we raise our hand to get the teacher's attention to give us more info about that thing. You remember me saying that? So here's what happened. When Daniel meditated on that vision and he was having thoughts and talking to the Lord in his thought life, Daniel was raising his hand in the Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, I need more revelation about this vision. Are you following me? So God heard. Here's what you got to understand this. God heard and answered Daniel's thoughts. Why? The Holy Spirit's so cool how he wraps all these messages together. Because our thoughts are spiritual communication or communication in the spirit realm. Remember, I preached on that like several times. Are you seeing how everything is tying together with everything that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart to talk about? So Daniel, listen, Daniel was locked in his thought life with God. And because he was meditating on that thing, it got the Holy Spirit's attention. Amen? You agree with that? The Holy Spirit brought a verse to my remembrance that ties into this truth. Oh my. Go with me to Isaiah 65. I want to show you something here. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Oh my. I'm showing you how important it is to lock your thoughts on before you verbally pray. Isaiah 65, 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, underline that, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Now, I want you to notice something here where it says, before they call, I will answer. Do you know what it means to call? To verbally speak something. Did you get it? I will answer before you verbally say something. Why? Because if you're meditating on that thing, you got God's attention now. You raised your hand in the spirit and said, I want more information about that truth. In other words, so God is telling us that he will respond to and answer our thoughts before we verbalize them with words. Now, listen to me. We must lock into, like I said a minute ago, we must lock into the kingdom of God in our mind, in our soul, in our thoughts, for our spoken words to even be effective in prayer. Let me say it again. We must lock into the kingdom of God in our mind, in our soul, in our thoughts, for our spoken words to even be effective. Listen to this. A failure to lock our thoughts into the kingdom of God before speaking words in prayer will void our prayers out. You want to know why? You know what it's called when you speak something without your heart connected to it? Idle words. Say idle words. An idle word means this. It means that you're verbally speaking it, but your heart or your soul is not engaged with it. I'm talking about prayer. It literally means this. Idle word means this. It literally means an empty or insincere spoken words. Did you know that? Idle words means empty or insincere spoken words. God is under no obligation to answer your empty or insincere spoken words. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. It means this. There are no feelings or desire attached to those spoken words. Idle words are powerless. Let me give you some evidence on it. Mark 11, 23 through 24. That's where Jesus taught that if our spoken words have any power, any effectiveness in it, what do we need to do? We need to believe what we're speaking. We need to believe what we're speaking. Are you seeing how this is all tying in? So if we believe what we're speaking, I'm talking even about giving faith-filled commands. I'm talking about even praying to receive from heaven. If we believe what we're speaking, we will have what we say, Jesus said in Mark 11. There is, you could say it this way, there is creative power in those faith-filled words where you have your desire and feelings attached to them. Oh. Listen. When you're speaking words, there needs to be feelings. There needs to be a desire attached to those words, or they're insincere, idle words. The reason we can pray and say to receive something in the spirit realm is because that provision has already been made available through Jesus. Now it's a matter of simply commanding that thing to manifest in the natural realm. What I'm trying to say is this. We're not trying to beg God. We're not begging God to do something. No, we're saying this thing's available and I want it here in the natural realm. Is that what prayer is? Isn't that what commanding is, something is, right? We are not begging God for something that has been not been made available to us. We are taking hold of what is available to us. If you will shift that thought in your thoughts, if you'll shift that in your thought life, that you're not begging God, you're taking hold of what he already has for you. The blessing of the new covenant is available to us now. Amen? So listen to this. I'm almost done. Stick with me. To have powerful and effective prayer, your heart and soul must be fully connected to the words that you're speaking. All right? And unfortunately, again, that's a spiritual law, and unfortunately, those in witchcraft and those in the occult, that's how they do spells. They're believing what they're saying. They're believing what they're saying. Jesus said, if you believe what you say, you're going to receive. He was talking about be careful, make sure you're doing it for holy purposes. Amen? Amen? So God heard and answered or responded to Daniel's thoughts. But then, listen to me, then the angel reveals something very interesting here. Listen to this. The angel tells Daniel that he, the angel, came, was released from heaven because of Daniel's words. The angel is talking about Daniel's spoken words. Oh, listen to me. Angels and demons are released by spoken words. That angel, listen to me, that angel was not released through Daniel's thoughts. The angel himself said, I was released because of your words. Are you getting this? There's power in the words that we speak. Angels, you could say it this way. I'm talking about the deeper thing. I don't know. I guess I'm just here to make disciples. I'm here to make disciples. I'm not interested in just surface level stuff. I want you to walk in the power of God. Amen? Angels respond to and are moved by our spoken words in prayer or by our verbal commands and faith-filled confessions from the word. They respond to the one, you could say it this way, they respond to the one that gives voice to the word of God. Say voice. Voice. Don't ever forget to shift something in the natural realm. Our prayer or commands need to be verbally spoken. They need to be verbally. I'm on the last page right here. See, let me just give you a little proof there. Okay. Now, because we are given, here's what's going on. When we verbally speak words, we are giving permission or legal right. Say legal right. A legal right to one of the two kingdoms. You could say it this way. To cross over and impact or interfere with the natural realm. It's a legal right. Your spoken words are giving a legal right to one of the two kingdoms in the spirit realm. And that is why the angel said he responded to Daniel's spoken words. Again, angels and demons both respond to spoken words. So you better be careful who you're releasing. Don't let the dogs out. Don't let the demons out. Amen. Make sure you're releasing the kingdom of God. All right. So it's a matter of permission that must be granted. You got to catch this, and then I'm going to finish this thing. It's a matter of permission that must be granted from a human being with a physical body that has a legal right to operate in the natural realm. You do know that. To operate in the natural realm, you need a physical body. You must have, you could say it this way, you must have a fleshly house, a physical body, to have legal right to operate in the natural realm. Amen? That is why, listen to this, that's why demons refer to a person that they're in as their house. That is why the Christian's physical body is referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. For demons and the Holy Spirit to be in a physical body, listen to this, it makes them a resident in the natural realm. Oh my, listen to this. That is why demons get so upset when they get cast out of a person. And it says they find no rest. Why? Because they have no influence without being in a human body. That's why they call it their home. And they say, I'm going to go back to that home. Are you following me? A home is a residence. Oh, listen to that. Oh, my goodness. Man, I could camp out on that. So the Holy Spirit and demons both want influence to do their will. They both are, the Holy Spirit and demons are both vying for all of us to yield to their will so they can have influence. That's what, again, that's why it drives demons so nuts when they're out of a body, because they're worthless. They need to be in someone where someone gives into their influence. All right? When we pray and speak faith-filled commands, we are allowing the Holy Spirit and angels to use our authority to alter and get involved in the natural realm. There's so many powerful keys the Holy Spirit gave me in this message, but the point is this. Start your day out in prayer. Can we just sum it up like that? Start your day out with prayer. Start it out with the Word of God, right? Start it out with commanding your morning with the Word of God. Make seeking the Lord and His Word priority in your life. Amen? Use your free will to pray, to paint, and create a beautiful and blessed life on that canvas that God has given all of us. Amen? It's time to make prayer a priority in our life. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, and today is the day of salvation. Don't mess around with your eternity. Don't mess around with your eternity. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come down to this altar and pray with one of the prayer team members today to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe there's someone in here, and you're saying, you know, Pastor James, you are speaking directly to me. I have been lazy. I've been given more room to the flesh than the Holy Spirit. And you haven't been making prayer a priority. If you want to do that today and you just want a new start, you want to rededicate that to the Lord, come down and you can pray with one of the prayer team members and do that. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, praying in tongues, you want to learn more about that, you want to do that, come on down and we'll pray over you and do that. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Wow, visitors, thank you so much for coming today. We had a great service today, didn't we? Yes. Wow. Fire, absolutely. Holy Ghost fire. Just to let you know, Marianne and I were leaving for Phoenix, Arizona on Thursday, so we're going to a church conference down there. So we're going into the fire there, not only spiritually, but it's been over 100 degrees every day there for the last 120 days or something like that. So, yeah, crazy. So we're looking forward to that. Be praying for us for safety, and I want a divine appointment down there so we can bring it back. Amen? We're going to a David Herzog, Dr. Michael Brown, James Goel, and I think there's a couple other people. So it's going to be powerful. He talks about the presence of God, the glory of God. So we're going into the oven. Amen? All right, God bless you all. We'll see you when we get back. Everything is the same. So for the whole week, so while the cat's away, don't play. Come on back. Amen. All right, love you all. God bless you.